Revelation 2:12 through 17 includes the words, "Remain true to my name." This is our Lord's expectation and the topic for Brother David Johnson's sermon on this Words of Life program. You will be blessed as you hear the next sermon in the Revelation series. Words of Life is supported by prayers and contributions of Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want to be able to hear the gospel on the radio, and they want you to hear that gospel. For a free CD of this program, please be ready at the end of the broadcast to write down our addresses. We now praise our God with song. Please pray with me. Holy Father, we bow before you in recognition of your righteousness. Thank you for blessing us with the forgiveness of sins and the fellowship with you through Jesus and the indwelling Holy Spirit who blesses us. Please use the words of this program to serve your purposes. Bless all who preach the gospel throughout the world so that souls will be reached for you. We know that you have promised that Jesus will return. Help us to be ready for this great promised event. We also desire your healing to be given to all who are burdened with health issues or other needs. Touch their lives, and may each one understand that you have blessed. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now present Remain True to My Name.
It's great to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is Remain True to My Name. And our text in this series of the seven churches of the second and third chapter of the book of Revelation, our text is Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. Please listen to the Word of God. To the angel of the church in Pergamum, write, these are the words of him who has the sharp, double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. Yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city where Satan lives. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You have people there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and by committing sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teachings of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore. Otherwise, I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. This is the Word of God. When the outside world attacks the genuine church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we Christians expect that. But what is far worse is when the world infiltrates, brings worldliness into, within the church, its members. Worldliness in the church, generations ago, used to consist of things like dancing, playing cards, or going to dark theaters to see movies. Today, worldliness has become much more subtle and shrewd, especially emphasis not on the spiritual goals, but instead, like corporations centered on income and headcounts only, or primarily. Emphasis on church location, emphasis on perks, social benefits, physical plant, and convenience. Tolerance now trumps truth. Today the trend is toward user-friendly, seeker-orientated, marker-driven strategies that copy the world's successes. Yet in the Bible, the Holy Spirit-inspired writers do not hesitate to condemn worldliness. Well, what is worldliness? It is any interest, even preoccupation, regarding the temporal over the eternal. Emphasis of the flesh over the spirit. Numbers versus those born again by God. Jesus himself states in the Gospel of John, chapter 15 and verse 19, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Today, if the world accepts, or at least tolerates, a certain local church, rather than hate them as Jesus states, what does that reveal about that particular congregation? Evidently, they have been infiltrated by the world and are a worldly church. To not stand for the central core gospel truths is to not stand for anything. Do all professing Christians today affirm that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man? Do all professing Christians today affirm that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation? Do all professing Christians today affirm the bodily, literal transaction of Jesus Christ out from amongst the dead? No. Sadly, many do not on all these three scores. And this cannot be. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." World here refers to the world system, its beliefs, its practices, its values that continue to challenge God's unchangeable truths. The church at Pergamum had drifted into worldliness, into compromise of God's truth. Here we have serious warnings from Jesus Christ not to become a worldly church. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 12a. "To the angel or messenger of the church in Pergamum, write." Pergamum was a difficult place for a non-compromising church of Jesus Christ to remain faithful. Pergamum was the religious center of pagan worship. Pagans worship many gods. In Pergamum, they especially worship the Roman god of healing. Sufferers came to Pergamum from all over the known world. It was like the Lourdes of Asia. This Roman god's title was actually Savior. Its emblem was a serpent, which is the modern medical insignia today for healing. Sufferers would spend the night at this god's temple that included medical wards and schools and pagan priests. Sufferers would seek to touch a tame, non-poisonous snake through which it was believed to be touched by this healing god. The serpent was the incarnation of this god. The sufferers would actually sleep on the floor of the pagan temple, allowing non-poisonous snakes to crawl all over them in the darkness for healing power. The most prominent monument of Pergamum was the altar of Zeus, which was 40 feet high. Zeus was the presiding god of the Greek pantheon of gods. Zeus was believed to be the ruler of the heavens, the father of the other gods, and of mortal human heroes. Pergamum was a center for the pagan cults of Athena, Greek goddess of wisdom and the arts, of Asclepius, the Greek god of healing and medicine, of Dionysus, the Greek god of the grape harvest and wine, also of fertility and ritual debauchery and drunkenness. Pergamum was also the first city in the Roman province of Asia to build a temple to Caesar and became the capital of Caesar worship in Asia. So over its ancient history, Pergamum was quite enthralled with the changing ways of the world, of the flesh, of paganism. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 12b. "These are the words of him who has the sharp, double-edged sword. This refers to Christ's judgment on those who attack His genuine people, His church. Christ's double-edged sword can also represent His authority and judgment of all past, present, and future true believers from the false worldly ones. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13a. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. This probably refers to the great 40-foot throne-like altar to the Greek god Zeus, which overlooked the city on a hill about 800 to 1,000 feet high. Certainly, with all the gods and goddesses and Caesar worship, with all the cults and gross pagan practices, this became like Satan's headquarters on his throne. Today, we could safely say Satan has thrones on all continents of this world. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13b. Yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death. Notice it is possible for Christians to remain faithful to Christ, even in the most wicked of places, even in a throne place of Satan. True, believers have the indwelling Holy Spirit to help us to remain faithful. Antipas was probably a pastor leader of the church at Pergamum. Leaders in a church are especially to remain faithful, as they have responsibility to shepherd, to pastor the church where they serve, and set a godly example and witness. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You have people there who hold to the teachings of Balaam. Balaam's character is revealed in the Old Testament, the book of Numbers chapter 22 through Numbers chapter 24 and verse 25. Although he was willing to acknowledge the one true God as powerful, he did not believe in the Lord as the only true God. Balaam was like so many spiritual imposters who seemed genuine outwardly, but had and have a corrupted inward life and beliefs. Balaam obeyed God only as long as it profited him. Today, many Christian leader imposters are not about the truth, not about godly character, but instead chase after prosperity and prestige. These seek the masses to follow them rather than Christ. They really want to be the world's heroes, not God's servants. Worldly Christian imposters follow what is popular, not what is proper truth. There is room for differences of opinion regarding non-essentials of the Christian faith, such as, for example, worship style, yet done decently and in order, as it reveals in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40, and also that does not contradict Scripture. But there is no room for false doctrine that plainly contradicts Scripture or for moral ethical sin, as revealed in Scripture. Sadly, so many idolize those who teach and preach what itching ears want to hear and practice. This is the world's way of the flesh, not of the kingdom of God. Balaam is the prototype of all corrupting and compromising false teachers who lead many astray, which will actually worsen until Jesus Christ returns. The Christian's litmus test of God's truth regarding doctrine or conduct is the Bible. Know it, teach it, live it. No true Christian wants Christ against him or her. The remedy Jesus gives for believing false doctrine or living immorally is simple in theory, but difficult for many to practice. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 16, it says in part, "Repent, therefore." That is, change from wrong to right. Turn from sin to the Savior. Reject the world's way and follow closely Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Christians must not condone, commend, nor compromise on any form of immorality, idolatry, which is worshiping anyone or anything, or any central truth of the Christian faith. Nor should Christians endorse nor support teachers that teach anything that plainly contradicts Scripture morally or doctrinally. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17 says in part, "To him who overcomes I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it." Hidden manna, a commentator writes, quote, "Just as Israel received manna, God promises to give the true believer the spiritual bread the unbelieving world cannot see. Jesus Christ, Jesus is the bread of life. John chapter 6 and verse 51, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." End quote. That is, Jesus Christ gave himself totally, his body and blood, on the cross, as the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. John chapter 1 and verse 29. And of course, effectual only to those who receive him by obedient saving faith. A white stone with a new name written on it has a couple of possible meanings. First, a white stone in Roman times was used as a ticket to a victor's celebration after athletic events. So here it represents an overcomer's victory in finishing the race of this life and remaining faithful to Christ, celebrated into heaven. Or, secondly, ancient juries of a court voted by casting stones into an urn or vase. A white stone signified not guilty. So here, as a faithful overcomer, there is no condemnation for those who remain in Christ Jesus. New name written on it, known only to him who receives it, possibly represents that only the Lord and the overcomer in Christ who remains true to his name know for sure his eternal destiny. Or, new name means qualitatively different, referring to a family name in Christ Jesus. So Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17a, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Not only to the first century AD churches in the Roman province of Asia, including at Pergamum, but also to all the churches today in the 21st century, including the Church of Christ, where you may be, the church at large. Whatever exactly the name is, that to be in Christ, we are added automatically to his church. Don't be worldly. Strive to remain true to his name. We are kingdom subjects of the King of Kings, not of this world or of its worldly, sinful ways.
I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee, for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. 'Tis Jesus calls grace and trust for earth and heaven above. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. And he assurance gives to loyal hearts and true that every promise is fulfilled to those who hear and do. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary.
God has blessed us with his word. If you are not yet a Christian, we encourage you to consider this need for Jesus today. To be a Christian, you must first believe in Jesus. You need to repent of sin, confess Jesus as Savior, and be baptized by immersion in water. If we can help you with your decision for Jesus, please contact us. To receive a free CD of this program, ask for CD number 1944. That's 1944. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.
Sing now.